welcome to Game Goose. Today is February 18th, 2020. This is Season 2, Episode 29. My name is Dan Curry. I'm in studio with Clinton Brower.
That's right.
Mr. Wide Eyes.
Yeah. I had an awful day at work today, so everything's all better now.
Yeah.
I'm here with my buddies.
With your friends.
My buds Dan and Neil.
Yeah. And that's Neil over there, as Clinton just said. Hey.
Hey, I don't know why I left. Hello.
Because I thought you were going to say, that's Neil. When I said, that's Neil over there, that was your cue to go, hello.
And then you just kind of sat there wide-eyed.
And then I broke. I was trying to sign it to Twitch, and for the last 3 weeks, every time I sign in on my computer, it sends a verification code to my email. Like, yo, it's me. It's always me.
It'll always be me.
Right. So let's jump into it. What have you guys...
Right.
You know how it is.
Oh, like... yeah. You know.
The guest, special guest appearance.
Matthew McConaughey.
McConaughey, played by Dan Curry.
That's my version of him. I don't even say all right. Just right.
No, Midwestern all. Matthew McConaughey.
And abridged Matthew McConaughey.
I got time for all those alls. Let's jump into what we've been playing. I'm very excited about this. Neil and I finished Divinity Original Sin 2.
Nice.
We did. Did you become it only took dimes? Us 100 hours.
No. If you don't want any spoilers about the game, leave for a second. Clinton, you're playing it kind of, right? Do you give a crap about it?
I don't care.
So it was wild. The end was probably the most wild part, I'd say. So we played a final battle. First of all, it took us 100 hours and 11 minutes, according to Xbox.
Nice.
Our save was probably at like 80 to 90.
It's not too bad then.
Yeah, so all the retries, all that kind of stuff. The last battle was very difficult. And what happens is basically the last boss from the old game shows up.
The dragon?
No, Brachus Rex. He's okay. Like this sorcerer, yeah. And the bad person from the new game resurrected him and tried to keep him under her control, like for power. So eventually, he breaks free. So you have to fight him and the new boss, and like all these bosses from they got risen from the dead. And Brachus Rex brings up a huge kraken. So it's kind of cool because they'll fight each other as well. So it's kind of this big battle, and we just could not win. Then we started thinking about the rules of the game, and Neil's like, and I'm like, well, I can set the Kraken on fire because he has no magic armor. Like, just as we've been fighting, just the bursts of fire and stuff have whittled it down. And Neil goes, wait a minute, if he has no magic armor, can we charm him? So we found out that you can charm the Kraken, and he just wiped everybody out, because apparently when you beat the boss, the Kraken just leaves.
Yeah.
So we had the Kraken just kill everybody. By charming him, and that was a lot of fun and super funny.
Well, then, and in charming the Kraken, who has been spawning all of these like boss rush bosses,
yes,
you charm all of his summons.
Yes, so all the bosses, the previous bosses from the game, are on our side too. Yeah.
So nice. Suddenly, like a 9-4 fight is a, you know,
9-3.
Yeah. Little flip around. So that's how we won that. That was a funny way to do it. Then a demon showed up. We talked about it. We're like, we didn't ever finish that quest with the demon who was controlling the doctor. And I'm like, oh shit, we didn't. Neil's like, I thought the way that we talked to him, because Neil made a pact with him, that he would show up in the final fight. And I was like, yeah, it kind of did seem that way. Final fight ends. Here he is. Shows up. I'm like, oh shit, here he is. I'm like, now we're going to have to fight him. He's like, you made a pact, now it's time for me to collect. He fucking kills one of Neil's characters permanently.
Yeah,
explodes, like disappears from the HUD. Just gone. And I said, I fucking told you. So then we had to kill him. He was pretty easy, even with only three of us. Then my companion basically said, I don't want to be divine, I'm going to help you become divine. Which is something he had decided earlier on in the game. So it asked me if I wanted to be divine, and it asked Neil if he wanted to be divine. We both said yes, so then it put us in a battle. Whoop Neil,
2v1.
2-on-1. And it was a little unfair because his character is about becoming invisible and moving, and they put you on a real tiny platform. And wherever you're standing, the floor glows. So he went invisible to try to get away from me, and I just nuked him. Instead of becoming divine, I decided to give divinity to everybody, and it kind of just rolls and tells you what happens with your choices and all the characters and things like that.
Nice.
It tells you about every single area and every single character, too. It's very in-depth at the end.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, it was probably a good, like, 15-minute, like, this is what happened because of everything you did.
And the person, my companion, who had suddenly...
exploded.
So, well, yes. But somewhere along the quest, she fell in love with my main guy. So, we were really... I think Dan was, like, doing a quest at one point, and I was... She had talked to me, just, like, on her own accord, and I was going through a conversation while he was running through some very important plot points. And I had to say, like, oh, wait, I wasn't listening. We were making out.
Because there's, like a little mechanic that if you're talking to somebody, sometimes it'll just pull everybody in, mm-hmm. and everybody's character has, like, a little ear. Or if I'm talking to somebody, Neil can come up and press A on me, and he'll, like, start to listen. Yeah. So everybody had an ear saying they were in a conversation, and I thought he was listening. He's like, oh, we're over here making out. I'm like, oh, shit. Well, anyway, this guy we thought was just a slave is the bad guy from the last game. So I'd explain that to him. But overall, great game. I think it's actually only the second game I'd ever give a 10 out of 10, along with Breath of the Wild.
Nice.
Yep.
It is very difficult. Although there is a mode that's below what we played, that's just like story mode, like it's not as hard. So if you're into like final or like fantasy stuff, I almost said Final Fantasy stuff. If you're into fantasy stuff,
no highly one's recommend into it. That.
tactics kind of things. You know, good stuff. There was not like any really glitches or anything like that along the way. We only ran into a few weird... The only big issue we had is sometimes we didn't know where to go, and you would run into enemies that were way too high for you, yeah. and you had to just restart. That was probably my only issue with the game.
Yeah. But, the story's really good then?
Story's good. It was better than the first one.
It was a lot easier to follow than the mm-hmm. first one.
Mm-hmm. And there's, all the different, groups interacted was interesting, and I think just from reading the Reddit, like, you can side with any of them along the way. You know, so you could do a run and just become a bad person and try to stop it, like the other people from being divine and all kind of stuff, because there's all different kinds of groups doing different things.
Nice.
And the music was much better than the first one. A lot more variety, a lot more put into the music. The only thing is that the game is very long. So if you're in one area for a long time, you will hear the same song for a really long time. So at those points, I would just put on my own music for a while. And then we go to a new area and I'd be like, oh, let's check out what the music is now. Yeah. And the battle music was always the same.
Yeah.
Yeah. But that it was really good. So
and highly recommend. 10 out of 10. I mean that sincerely.
After we finished, I was like, you know, I definitely don't want to play like another one right now, but I could see myself being like, let's do another Divinity.
Yeah.
Like, and do like a bad guy run or.
That's what Baldur's Gate's going to be. Yeah. Next Divinity, right?
Yeah. I'm curious about that to see how similar it is and how different it is. If they take somewhat of a different path, but.
I have a buddy pass for Stadia. So if it comes out on that, when it comes out on that, if you want to play it on Stadia.
You get a buddy pass, so what do you
just... It gives you like 3 months of Stadia.
Nice, nice. That's probably a good thing for them to get other people.
I mean, it was like, it was part of the thing from the beginning.
Gotcha. So I just need one of the controllers, right?
You wouldn't even need a controller. You just have to. You can play it on your computer. You can play it on your phone. If you can connect a controller to your phone, you can play it on your phone.
So I could control it. Use an Xbox controller.
Yeah, or a PS4 or.
Yeah, cool.
Yeah.
I would check it out.
As far as I know, I don't think it has to be the Stadia controller. It might have to be.
Yeah.
I don't know.
They're not that... I mean, the whole thing isn't that much.
No, $120 or something. Mm-hmm. I think for the... Well, I don't know. For the Stadia stuff and the Stadia controller, it might only be $60. But for a Google Home with it, if you don't have that, it's probably another $70.
The Chrome?
Yeah.
Yeah.
The Chromecast.
Because you have to have the newest...
What did I say? Google Home? Yeah, the Chromecast. It has to be the third...
The new one.
Yeah.
Other than that, I played a bunch of games. What do you guys play?
I've been playing a lot of Realm Grinder still. Mm-hmm. I been really, I don't know. And when nothing's going on, I just spend just like an hour on my phone just pushing buttons to buy houses or whatever. I've been playing League of Legends. Played a couple of other games that we'll talk about. Well, I played one game we'll talk about tonight, and then a game we'll talk about next week. So I don't want to give too much away there. But yeah, beyond that, I keep trying to open Planet Coaster.
Oh, yeah.
And I don't know if I'm just looking in the wrong spot, but I want like a rundown, like a tutorial. Like, how do I do this shit? And it's just like, I hit the career mode and it takes me into, and I don't know, maybe I played it before and it's like got a Steam save file and it's not showing me it or something. But I can't find, I just click on the campaign and it loads me into like this pirate, already built pirate amusement park. And it's like, build another ride and get this many visitors, but there's no like tutorial to it. There's no like explanation of how to build rides. There's no explanation of how to like change ticket prices, or the build menu has no like up like tooltip learning thing. So I don't know. I think I'm in the wrong place on it. So
you can maybe find a YouTube tutorial too.
Yeah, and it's just been one of those things. You pop it open, and then it puts me in that, and I'm just like not in the mood to teach myself how to play a game. So I'm just like close out of it and go do something else. But I've been playing League, of course. But yeah, I don't know. I haven't had that much time to do much. I've been out, friends' birthdays, and things have been going on, so I haven't had too much time. I played some Jackbox with a bunch of people the other night.
Oh, yeah, we played some Jackbox. That was fun.
Yeah.
That was fun.
But, yeah.
Did you hear that thing about the all-female league team?
The Russian team?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Super unfortunate.
Well, that can't be vague booking.
So, yeah, we can get it to an hour of news, whichever. But there's an all-women Russian team who the women on the team weren't very good, at least as a team. And so they were just performing very, very poorly.
Well, we should say that they're performing poorly against...
In the pro league, pro-Russian league. Like, to the point where they would get 2 kills, the other team would get 25 and end the game in 13 minutes, which is impossibly fast in a league game. normal teams will... Each side will have like 10 to 13 deaths per game. They have 25 deaths and 2 kills.
Wow.
So not great. And I guess like even like people knew it probably wasn't going to be great because all of their rankings weren't like the highest of rankings, and they were all support players, I guess. And this is things I was reading on Reddit. I don't know how true all of them are.
Right. But,
So they ended up losing a bunch, and then they had to be like, hey, this isn't what we want in the league, so they removed their team from the
like a really unfortunate publicity stunt.
And the girls of course got blamed for a bunch of stuff and were being flamed and just treated really poorly because they were on this team,
right, where it seems like instead of just throwing them all together, maybe they should have just been part of other teams in a way, especially if they were all support, if that's true. Interesting. Yeah, I did not hear about that. I was just looking it up. Other than Divinity, Neil and I played a little bit of Halo. We're going to play through the campaigns. It's Halo. It's good.
Yep.
It's good. I mean, it's, you know.
The same game it was.
Yeah, it is amazing. When you press select on, because it's the anniversary edition, when you press select, it goes back to the old graphics. So at first when you're playing, like, oh yeah, this is an old game, these graphics aren't great, and then you press select and you go back to the actual old graphics, you're like, oh, wait a minute, I forgot what this game used to look like.
I was reading the tweets about that today, actually. The guy who came in and they had like that just as like a testing thing, an internal testing thing to prove to each other that it was running on the same engine.
Gotcha.
And he's like, why don't we just add this to the game as like a feature?
And it's instant. Yeah. Like, it's not like you press select and it like loads. Yeah. You just like pop, 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 pop. Like, you can just go back and forth at any second.
So I guess it was just like an internal testing thing. And it just, and it became a feature when he was like, hey, His first day, I guess they showed him. He's like, "Are we putting this in the game?" No, let's put it in the game.
Yeah, just put a little. Because we were playing Halo 2, and that's been remastered, and that they really went all out on that, and that is gorgeous. Halo 1's a little rougher. It was for 360, so
yeah,
but it's still fun. It's fun to use the kneeler and blow some people up.
Yeah,
some
colorfully.
Yeah, we also played Bleeding Edge. We played that.
Oh yeah,
that's the Ninja Theory kind of Overwatchy MOBA kind of game.
Closer to, I would describe it as a MOBA without minions.
Yeah, it's fun. It's missing something.
Yeah,
it's kind of just
no charm to it, or
it's got a lot of character, but it just needs to take like one or two more steps. Reading on Reddit, some people probably put it in better, like kind of like, oh yeah, that is what it needs. Like, it's got really cool like dubstepy music, everything's the characters are really cool. Someone's like, it's just kind of like missing like an announcer or like some sound effects. Like, it does when you kill somebody, it doesn't really feel like great.
Yeah,
the balance is kind of off. Like, everybody has way too much health. I think it is so hard to kill somebody. So I hopefully they can get it right, because it has a lot of potential. But as is, I'm happy that it's free on Game Pass.
Yeah,
like if they said, oh, we decided not to put it on Game Pass, I wouldn't be like, oh well, I gotta save my $60. I'd just be like, eh, oh well.
Yeah.
So
yeah, in its current state, I was talking with my buddy Carl about this. Like, I see all the things it's trying to pull from, and I don't think it's really achieving any of them. I think the idea is there, but I don't want to pick it up again. And that's not because I think it feels more like a MOBA to me, and MOBAs feel inherently better on a PC, and I know that. Just in like the movement feels like it should be kind of click based. A lot of the abilities are hard to aim with the controller. It sometimes, you know, you have to activate it and hold it and move with one stick while directly aiming with the other stick while you're trying to, it's kind of strange.
Yeah.
But I'll keep checking in with it.
Yeah.
There's nothing drawing me to it right now.
Sorry about the Neil echo that's been ongoing.
Oh.
That I just realized was ongoing. You might not be able to hear it as much.
I don't know in chat.
Well, I haven't said much,
but you might notice a difference
so
in Neil's audio now. He is running through both systems.
Gotcha. People mentioned like playing as a ranged character is kind of boring, because it is kind of like Neil said, it almost feels like it was built to almost be a top-down MOBA where you just like hold and it will auto-aim. And so as a ranged character, you just hold down your attack button and kind of aim towards somebody, and you're just like, and it's kind of like, eh. So people even mentioned, like, maybe it needs, like, free aim. Maybe it does need to be a little bit more aimed towards console if that's the kind of game it's going to be. So we'll see what they do. I thought it was fine. I would pick it. I would try it again in the future, but it wouldn't be something I'd play forever.
Yeah.
So. Pretty cool characters, though. I did like their characters. A lot of the abilities are from
other things.
Yeah, but I think at this point, we kind of expect that from any game like that. But there were some cool people. I've been into Slay the Spire a little bit again. That's really fun. They added a lot more cards. They added a little more.
Have you seen the speedruns of that game?
No, I bet you they're ridiculous, though.
It's like 7 minutes or something.
Yeah.
People can speedrun that game.
It's got to be tough, though, because you don't know what cards you're going
to
get.
Yeah, I haven't actually like paid attention to it. But
I definitely would like to watch that. They added more cards, quality of life kind of things. So playing it, you're like, oh, nice. Like, I haven't seen all this stuff before. Sonic Mania was free to play this weekend. If you're a fan of the old Sonic games, this is exactly what you want. Yeah. I've been trying to save some money, like, not save money for it, since $10 or $20, but find a time where I wanted to grab it, and I was like, I'll just try it this weekend, and it's fun.
Did you see the movie?
No, I want to.
The guys at work, one of them went and saw it with his son, and I guess he said it was very Ace Ventura
Yeah. I've heard as that, Dr. Robotnik. Like, yes, I'm sure he's very Ventura, just 90s. Just
Jim Carrey. Jim Carrey, yeah. And he said that every scene was some kind of product placement advertisement. Really? Is what he felt like.
See, I've heard, like, it's good.
Yeah.
Like, it's not, like, great. Yeah. But it's good.
He said he didn't hate it.
That's a step up for video game movies.
Yeah. It made, I think, the most in opening weekend over any video game movie, I thought I read somewhere. Which I can't.
I didn't even know it came out.
Pokemon. It came. It snuck up, didn't it? Like there was the whole controversy about how it got
delayed and stuff. But yeah, I didn't even know it came out. I feel like there was no fanfare to it, really.
Yeah. For once,
I don't watch movie things though to keep track of when movies come out though. So,
for once in our relationship, my wife has no interest in going to the movies. Usually, she's constantly bothering me to go see a movie, and right now there are two that I really want to see. So. I might have to just go by myself.
I like going to the movies by myself.
Yeah. I want to see Birds of Prey still, and I want to see Sonic. So, but yeah, Sonic Mania. Check it out. Neil got me into Dauntless. He can probably speak more on that than I can.
I am still really digging on the Dauntless. Not much to say about it other than I have tried all the weapons. I think there's seven... Yeah, I think there's seven. And five of them I find very enjoyable. The other two are totally fine. I just don't like playing with them. And yeah, it's a great watered down version of Monster Hunter. You just get into the action faster.
It's not as overwhelming. Or at least in my experience.
There's no story. It's I would definitely try it. Totally free. The free to play aspects haven't really hit me yet. Mm-hmm. I see where they come in, but if you're just casual, like I like to pick it up before I go. Like if the last thing I do, if no one's on, I'll fight a monster or two and then go to bed. It takes maybe 30, 45 minutes. Super fun. Yeah, highly recommend. Enjoy it.
Definitely enjoy it. Now that we're done with Divinity, I could see us jumping into that more.
Played some Apex. Still enjoy that with our buddy Carl. Definitely intense, but I don't really mind losing in that game. I just try to do a little better each time. New character came out. He's kind of weird. Haven't seen a lot of people use him. I don't even know his name. But his whole thing is one of his abilities silences people, which I think is kind of lame because not a lot of people use abilities in Apex. It's not really like an ability-heavy game. And oftentimes you get into fights and fights are over so quickly that you don't really get a chance to go, oh yeah, I'll silence this guy.
Right.
It's pretty much only good if you sneak up on someone. But yeah, what else? I got back into The Witcher 3 because I've been watching. I actually finished The Witcher series on Netflix.
Which is rare because Neil watches less stuff than I watch, and I barely watch anything.
That's not true. I watch stuff at work.
Oh, that's true. Which is why he doesn't watch things at home. I watch things at home.
But yeah, I enjoyed the series, and I remembered I never actually finished the game despite getting very close to beating it. So I've started over, really enjoying it again. I fucking love hunting monsters. And yeah. Dan, guess what?
What?
You got
caught. You got caught.
For what?
For you don't get caught.
Oh, right. That's just a thing. I forgot. That's just a thing.
I was expecting it for some reason. And so when he said it, I just said it along with it.
So I thought like maybe there was something that happened a while ago.
Do you actually get it? Oh, I just didn't ask you if it was for the game. So you...
Yeah.
He said what before he asked? Good. 2 out of 6, baby.
I always forget about it.
I think I'm at 3 out of mine, 3 out of 6. I need to just do them.
Yeah,
just I have a few them. That are easy, and one I'm never going to be able to do. So
yeah.
I need to just get caught doing it so that I fail.
It says you only need to do 3 to win.
Yeah, we're not playing by those rules, though.
Yeah, we're just playing for funsies. Play until.
Maybe we should have a winner.
Maybe. So it eventually ends.
Some prize so that people actually start doing it.
The last game I have on my list here is I started playing today, Warriors of Waterdeep. It's a D&D mobile game.
Mm-hmm.
I don't think it's anything like D&D.
Probably not.
From what I've seen. It's just kind of like a strategy RPG. But it's fun. Free to play. I can kind of see all that stuff coming. Got to pay to upgrade your, you know, you have a currency, you have to pay to upgrade your stuff. You have chests you unlock, and it takes, you can open this in an hour, that kind of stuff. But for now, it's fun. Yeah. So if you're into that kind of stuff, if you're looking for a fun mobile game, I would check it. Anything else before we move on?
No, hit me with some news, Dan. I'm low energy tonight.
We excite me. Aren't on news yet, but I'll tell you about upcoming games.
Hit me with that.
Today, February 18th, Bayonetta comes to Xbox and PS4, and Kingdom Hearts HD 2.8 Final Chapter comes out for Xbox.
What was it again?
That game title makes me angrier than anything I've heard in 2020.
So, you've had an easy 2020 then.
Some Kingdom Hearts games are coming out for Xbox that were not previously available for Xbox. And in addition to that, Kingdom Hearts 3 is coming to Game Pass, which surprised me today. I did not think that was a title that would come.
Thumbs up.
February 20th.
This is an audio medium. You can't just be throwing thumbs up.
I said thumbs up. I narrated myself.
February 20th, Devil May Cry 3 Special Edition comes to Switch.
You can't scowl like that. This is an audio medium.
And Sonic the Hedgehog 2.
Just for you. Dan, we're arguing.
I know. I'm trying to move past it. Remember when we were all friends at the beginning? Clinton was so happy. He was out of working with his buddies. Now you're all arguing about scowling and thumbs. Sonic the Hedgehog 2 comes out for the Switch. February 20th. Speaking of Sonic. So, some old school game. All right.
Neo, is it a remaster or is it just...
Just available. Port. Just a port.
Okay.
From what I can see. Let's hit some news. This is from IGN. PlayStation 5 manufacturing costs reportedly at about $450 per unit. So I think we talked about it last week that they were going to kind of wait to see what the Xbox was. So we'll see. For comparison, though, because people are, you know, worried, oh, no, it's going to be really expensive, the PlayStation 4 retailed at $400, and apparently it was $381 to manufacture. So they only made like $18 on each one, but basically they were using software sales to make for all that stuff.
PlayStation Online and PlayStation Plus, whatever the hell it's called, and
then you get your Sony
digital download.
Yeah, and you get your Sony studio stuff. Your God of Wars. You get your
Spider-Man, and they get a certain percentage of every game sold on their platform.
So
what? If we had to guess, Price is Right at $550 for a PS5.
Well, if they made about $20,
I don't think
the last one. I would say
I know that the
$500.
I know that the Xbox sold at a loss for a while.
The original Xbox?
No, the most recent one.
I know the original Xbox. They lost a buttload of money just getting into the market. I don't know about the last one, but
I think the Xbox One sold at a loss too for probably a year and a half before manufacturing prices came down on it. But I don't think that the price point of manufacturing is going to echo the retail price of it.
Yeah, we'll see.
I mean, there'll be some correlation probably.
If it's $500, that wouldn't surprise me. If somehow Xbox comes out at $400. If somehow they can make theirs cheaper, I can see PlayStation just being like, we'll do $402 and just losing the money right now.
Yeah.
So. Interesting stuff. Sorry.
I have a feeling Xbox will come out higher than PlayStation.
I don't know, because maybe they learned their lesson. They did that last time and it hurt them really badly.
Yeah. I think they're both just going to play the waiting game, see who comes first, and then.
Yeah. And I also think that.
Try to maneuver.
I also think that Xbox is going to make a lot of its money off of Game Pass and things like that.
Yeah.
So. Yeah. Yep, yeah. All right, let's do this. Come on, ad blocker. It's really messing with me right now. I apologize.
Dan, you forgot to wear your flannel.
Oh, man. I wore my flannel yesterday.
Idiot.
I know. Got my days mixed up. A bunch of the comics of the comedy show were in a flannel, though. Surprise, surprise.
Do you actually own a flannel, or do you just have a plaid shirt?
Oh, yeah, it's probably... No, I have a flannel.
I don't think I've ever seen you wear a flannel.
Not a big fan when I run hot.
Yeah.
So...
Yeah, yeah.
So, you know. Right now, there are animated adaptions of Overwatch and Diablo in production. This is from .esports.
Animated what now?
Diablo and Overwatch.
Like TV series?
What form movies? Of medium?
Oh.
Radio plays? Stage productions?
Oh, I hope they're radio plays.
Animated radio plays.
Neil's going to love this. He's going to be so excited. Diablo anime is coming.
Well, won't be watching that.
Have you watched the Castlevania one?
That's the next thing. It's taking some, you know.
Some what?
Gosh, words aren't happening today.
Inspiration.
There we go, from Castlevania.
You should watch the Castlevania anime, though, Dan, Neil, whoever you are.
Can I watch it?
Neil, Dan, whoever you are, you can watch it as well.
Cool.
I saw a little you might like on Netflix when I was finding The Witcher, and it just looked like a screenshot of the game. Like, it was pixelated.
Oh, really?
But
it's not in that art style.
Okay. I thought it was like a documentary about Castlevania.
Maybe it was, but no, the Castlevania anime is actually like pretty fucking rad.
So this is coming to Netflix, by the way. The Diablo 1's in pre-production. The Overwatch series is also in production and sold as a part of the deal, so it'll also come to Netflix, and it is just animated. So we don't know if it's an anime, if it's 3D. It's just animated.
I hope it's like... Oh, what the hell is that show? Go on.
Okay.
Just forget about me.
all they say about the...
Love, Death, and Robots?
No, I was thinking of... is it Roly Poly Oly? The little 3D generated, computer generated robot?
Oh, yeah.
It's like really shitty computer generation. That's what I hope it is.
I hope it just looks like the shorts they've made that's kind of, you know, computer generated.
Yeah, that's take a long time.
Yeah, if it was anime, I'd still watch it. All right. Speaking of Japanese games that are definitely on Neil's list to play,
hit me.
IGN, Persona 5 Royal, which I think is kind of, I believe that's like their special edition, is coming to the West, and they are going to be editing homophobic scenes. So apparently, they have some characters that are offensively stereotypical, and they're really sexually aggressive towards a minor, and just kind of put in a negative light. Apparently they are in the beginning of the game, and then there's a beach scene later on. That
what game is this?
Persona 5.
Oh.
So the Western version is going to be edited, but it's interesting. The Japanese version just staying the same. So.
Different cultural norms.
Mm-hmm.
Yep. Hey. It's 2020. No, that's a bad joke. Never mind.
Okay. I will not mind. Yeah, so just interesting because usually we talk, you know, we always talk about how American companies change things for Eastern audiences, but it seems vice versa is happening this time. And...
Well, they change it for Chinese audiences, not true. So much Japanese.
That is true. This is from Kotaku, but it kind of hit everybody, but they were the original ones to put it out. Do you guys remember back in the day,
no.
StarCraft Ghost? It was
highly anticipated.
Never came out.
Yeah.
Well, a playable build has been leaked. There was a video. It has been since taken down, but there's screenshots of it. The person who put the screenshots up originally on Twitter, where it blew up, said, hey, I had nothing to do with this leak. They were actually being put around on Xbox forums. So that was uploaded, and then later on, another separate mission was uploaded. Sounds like after he uploaded it, for some reason, his Xbox crashed. But he got it up, but his Xbox crashed, and the other video has been taken down by the user, so I don't know if Blizzard's going after him or what's happening, but it's that was such a highly anticipated game. If you have a chance, before it gets taken down, I would definitely... go on YouTube and just check it out. Kind of see what you're missing. Apparently, it was almost finished. Apparently, this build is like almost the entire game before it got scrapped. So,
well, I mean, I don't. It's interesting that they. I don't know. I don't know what I'm trying to say.
It's cool. You see her shooting little Zerg and stuff like that.
Yeah, it's an interesting idea of a game. I just don't see like. I don't know. I never got into StarCraft, though, so I don't know the kind of draw of it.
Yeah, I mean, they didn't really have any shooters, you know? That was kind of like an interesting take on Blizzard. And I mean, I trust them if they thought this isn't going to be good. Yeah. Did not do it. But, all right, this is the last news we found right before it started. This is from IGN. So, HQ Trivia. Let's give a little background on that in case you don't know what it was. It was a live phone game.
Mm-hmm. It was two Vine creators that like started this thing. And it was like, it was a app on your phone that would broadcast a live trivia game show to anyone that had the app.
Yeah, so I had it. It would buzz and say, hey, in 5 minutes, we got HQ Trivia coming up. And you could win real money.
Yeah, like basically, a good chunk of money, too, if you got lucky.
Basically, they got investors. Like, a bunch of investors got into it. I think there was 10 questions. If you got a question wrong, if you got a question wrong, you were out.
Yeah.
Whoever's left at the end splits whatever the pot is. So they did a couple million dollar ones, I think, every week. But it was
most of the time, I think it was like 10K or so.
Yeah. And it was on
most every
twice
night.
A day.
Yeah.
Yeah. They do like a small one during the afternoon and a big one at night, I think. So eventually, this thing just started to fall apart.
Yeah, I mean, people got bored of it. Like,
you
might win. If you won, you might win like 5 cents. Or if you got super lucky, you were the only one that knew the 10 questions, you might win $1,000.
Yeah.
But yeah, I think it got to a point where it got so popular where everyone was just winning 5 cents, 6 cents. So it wasn't worth the time and effort to come back to it every week.
And the other thing is that.
And it started turning into just a big advertisement, which is, I mean, that's how they're going to get their money and what it was billed for. But.
And I thought one of the hosts was unbearable, personally. If he was on, I would be like, I'm not doing this one.
Scott Rogowski.
And I think the other thing was just that it's so hard to be like, at 3 o'clock, I have to pick up my phone and play.
Yeah.
Like, that was.
And it wasn't just like. Question one, blah, blah, blah. Question two,
I hated Scott.
It was like 5 minutes. You had to be in the thing, and you had to be there before the thing started. Mm-hmm. And then the game would start, and there would be a 5 to 8 minute, like, fuck around intro where Scott Rogowski or the host or whatever would just spew bullshit and then advertise their advertisement.
And people would be in the chat, and he'd be like, I'm going to shout out to people in the chat.
Yeah, and
like,
he would
let us start the
game. It would
game.
Be like, 1,000 birthday shout outs and so much stuff. And then it would be like 8 minutes in, and then the first question would start.
Yeah.
And then each question was like a minute to like answer, and then it would tally all the things, see if you got it right or not, kick you out or keep you in. And then there would be like a minute after where he would say, like, oh, was it question? Or is it answer B?
Yeah.
Was it answer C?
The whole thing, like, probably took many people like a half hour.
Oh, yeah. It took forever to do it. But, it was fun to do it a handful of times.
Yeah.
I don't know anyone that ever won. Did Chelsea win one?
I've met a couple people. Or I knew a couple people. Someone I used to work with won $5 one time. And
But, it was an interesting idea. It was a fun thing. But, I don't want to wait or play a game that takes a half hour to answer 10 questions.
Yes.
Like, there's better trivia games out there.
This is from IGN. HQ Trivia's final broadcast was one heck of a wild ride. This is from Joseph Nope.
So when did it shut down?
The last one was yesterday, I think. Or no, updated on the 16th of February, so it must have been 16th of the day before.
So it had a pretty good run, probably a year and a half.
It launched in 2017.
Okay.
But I want to give out Joseph Nope because he wrote it so well. I'm basically going to read his article.
Yeah.
So he starts, there are send-offs and there's whatever happened to on HQ Trivia's final broadcast. So he kind of explains what it is. There was 25 employees. Apparently there was going to be a last minute acquisition, fell through. They all lost it. So here's where it gets real good. Host Matt Richards took $5 out of his own pocket for the show's last prize pool. And then he flipped off the audience and said he would crap on the homes of every troll in the game's chat room. You're not going to lie, this fucking sucks, Richards says. This is the last HQ ever. With a bottle of champagne sitting front and center before the camera, Richard and co-host Anna Roseman proceeded to give not one single crap for their final broadcast, cracking jokes, swearing loudly, all while seemingly a bit drunk. The pair also jokingly begged the viewers to hire them and verged on tears every now and then. some choice quotes. I was never allowed to plug shit on HQ. Please follow my podcast, Unemployed with Anna Roseman. I used to never wear pants here when I started HQ Trivia. Richard. Should HQ shut down? No, yes, or fuck no, Richard. posing a trivia question to the audience.
Ah. Oh my god.
I met a couple that told me HQ was part of their foreplay. So then it has a little more information about the startup and everything like that. They lost Rogowski, the guy I did not care for. HQ's former CEO and co-founder Colin Kroll also died of a drug overdose in December 2018. Didn't know that. He left. Scott Rogowski left to do a baseball show.
Yeah.
The crew closed out the broadcast with an emotional rendition of Memory from the musical Cats.
I don't think Scott Rogowski left, though. I think he got fired. He was getting too popular and wanting more money than they wanted to pay him.
Gotcha.
And so I think it was like a mutual fuck you kind of thing, and he left.
And now he does a sports show.
Yeah.
They sang Memory by the musical Cats, and then Richard sprayed the studio and himself with the champagne. If we ever stop this show,
that's how we're going out.
Oh, we gotta beat them.
We
gotta go more all out. That is crazy, and I'm really sad I missed that one. Because it used to be real super clean.
Oh, yeah.
I just love that they were like...
just manufactured, like...
Yes, for sure. So, that's the gaming news. We're going to take a real quick break. We're going to practice Memory by Cats.
Take a real break.
Hey, welcome back to Game Goose. Hope you had a nice little break like we did. So it's just Valentine's Day, which means love is in the air. And
I like the Game Goose tradition of always doing our holiday episodes the week after.
Yeah.
So just for all you holiday lovers trying to squeeze all the juice out of the run or something.
And we know how everybody loves Valentine's Day.
Game Goose is here to keep that high alive.
Yep. Well, this one, if you don't like Valentine's Day, it's fine. This is not
nothing to do with Valentine's
Day. Not really.
Day.
Just we decided to do a little digital love and play some dating sims. So each of us played a separate dating sim.
Yeah.
We are going to review and talk about each one.
What order do we want to go in?
I don't know. That's a good question.
That is a good question. I'll go first.
Mine was pretty tame. So
mine's not tame at all.
Okay, so let's go you, then me, then Neil.
That's good. I think that's a good way to go about it, too.
Yeah, okay.
We'll cleanse the palate of mine to get into the goofiness of Dan's, or Neil's. So, yeah, I played...
Can we talk about dating sims for a second? Because I played one. And I'm still not exactly sure why they exist.
Definitely
geared towards the female audience. In the selection of games that I saw, a lot of the times you were actually wooing a man. Where I will say what I expected was a lot of tentacles and bouncy anime titties and stuff like that. I got none of it. In fact, I got a lot of good looking dudes.
I will say on Newgrounds, they used to have a billion of these.
Yeah.
Do you guys remember Newgrounds? It was just like a flash animation site. We play them all the time for fun.
I don't think I ever played any.
Sorry.
Play what?
Chaos Faction?
I don't.
It was like a Super Smash Brothers thing.
I do remember that. That was fun. I remember there was like a lot of those dating sims on that we used to mess around with. So a dating sim, I guess we should, if it's just, it says you talk to people and you try to woo them and...
Yeah, you make dialogue selections and kind of, it's, yeah, like a visual novel kind of thing.
Mm-hmm.
In some
visual
of them,
novel.
Yeah.
Yes. Okay.
Yeah. So Clinton, which one did you play?
I played, and I don't know how much I'd really consider it after having played it dating sim, because I don't think there's really any choices really that you make. I mean, there are choices that you make, But I don't know that any of them have any bearing on how the story plays out.
Right.
But I played Doki Doki Literature Club. And it's an interesting game. So it starts, you are best friends with the neighbor girl, and she like runs up to you on the street. And you walk to school together, and like apparently you used to walk to school together every day until high school. She like gets lazy, and so she doesn't go to work. She doesn't go to school on time every morning. So eventually, you like don't walk together every morning or whatever. But you're still friends, and so you end up walking to school with her this day, and she's like, "Hey, I joined this club, and we need more members, and you should come join it." And so you're like, yeah, whatever. I don't really want to join a club. And if I do, it won't be the literature club. It'll be like the anime club or something.
Right.
And so eventually she talks you into going to the literature club because there's going to be cupcakes at it. So you show up and it's three other hot girls. So it's four hot girls in the literature club.
Okay.
There's Sayori, which is the... And I'm probably going to butcher all these names. Sayori, yeah. Which is the neighbor girl. Monica, who's the president of the club, Natsuki, who is this, she's younger, and she's like the one that makes cupcakes, and she's very, I think the word tsundere, I'm not sure how you say it, but it's like when you're really mean to someone, when you actually like them, it's like a Japanese anime trope kind of thing, and then the other one is Yumi, who's like the emo goth girl, and so you meet all four of these girls in the literature club. And they're like, yeah, we're so happy to have you. We're so glad you've joined. And you're like, wait a minute. I didn't join. I just said I would come check it out. Right. And they all get really sad. And you're like, oh, fuck it. I'll join the literature club. And so they're like, yay. Okay, let's all write a poem tonight. And then we'll read our poems to each other the next morning or the next day at club. So you go home. You walk home with Sayori. And then you write your poem, and you have this list of words
that you can kind of
that you can choose from. Nice. And each word has like a girl that it's associated with: Natsuki, Yuri, or Sayori. And so you pick these different words, and the little character tsundere—that's how you say it, apparently. You pick the words that in the ones that correspond with them. They have little chibi characters that jump up and down when you pick them. Like they're all happy that you picked their word or whatever. So you write this poem and you go to school the next day, and then you read your poem to all of them, and then they each have poems that they write for you, and it's all they all have like distinct voices in the, how they write their poems and things. And you talk about them. Sorry, I'm looking at chat. Yeah. talk about them and like kind of go over your poems and stuff, and about this point I'm getting real fucking bored. It's just been a lot of reading,
right.
And then you sit down with one of the girls, and I don't know if it's always the same girl, but my first day poem, I think this might be the only kind of thing that affects it, is depending on how you write your poem, you sit down with a different girl. And you get little like tableaus of the club day where you sit and read manga with the tsundere. Is that right? Tsundere. tsundere? Whatever. You sit and read manga with the mean girl, or you sit and read a novel with the emo girl. And I don't know what you do with the other one. But I think that's the only like really difference that you can make.
Gotcha.
And so you find out that like the school festival is coming up, so you're gonna help one of the girls do something during the school festival. And I think I'm skipping mixing days up or whatever. Yeah. But anyways, one day Sayori gets really depressed and she ends up leaving club early, and you find out that she's like really likes you. She's like in love with you, and she always has been. And so, like, the only reason, like, you've never seen her upset before is because she's always happy when she sees you.
Right.
And so that's kind of, like, one of the things that happens. And so then it's like, you need to pick one of us that you're going to help when we get ready for the festival. So I picked one of the girls who's going to come over that weekend and bake cupcakes in my house.
Ooh, okay.
So then you go home and you, like, what's, like, you go over to Sayori's house, like, why are you so upset? And she tells you, like, no, I've actually been, like, depressed my whole life. It's like a struggle for me to get up every day, and that's why I'm late to school.
Jesus, this is gets heavy. Yeah,
and it gets, like, really intense. And she's, like, kind of skirting around that she's in love with you. She doesn't actually want to tell you because she's worried that it'll make you, like, worry about her more and make you care more for her. And she thinks that people caring about her is, like, she feels like an imposition on people. And so it's, like, more stressful for her, and she, it just makes her more upset. So yeah, it gets pretty intense. So then the girl comes over and you bake cupcakes, and she comes over, Sayori comes over, and she, like, kind of half confesses to you that, like, seeing you with the other girl is, like, really upsetting to her. Mm-hmm. And then you have, like, a couple of options. Like, you can tell her, like, I love you. Like, it's fine. I love you. I only want to be with you. Or you can say, like, hey, let's be, like, really close friends. Like, we're really close friends. Right. We've always been close friends. So I picked the I love you option. And then you, like, go to bed. You wake up in the morning. She's not out there to go to school with you. And you're like, whatever. She's fucking lazy. And you go to school. and then you get to school. Sorry, Zach.
Yeah. We're just getting into the good stuff.
Yeah, getting to the good
people
part.
People in chat have arrived on time.
And this is super spoiler, so if you ever wanted to play this game, don't listen to this.
Yeah.
And it is an amazing game. It's kind of, it drags on in the beginning part a little bit, but once you get to, like, this part, it gets really intense, and it's, like, changes kind of paces. Mm-hmm. And it's not a dating sim anymore. It's just a straight up horror game at this point.
What?
Yeah. So you go to school, and you run into Monica, the mm-hmm. the president of the Lich Club, and she's like, hey, where's Sayori? Why didn't you come in with her? Especially after the conversation you had with her last night. And you're like, wow, Sayori, like, told her that we had this, like, revelation and, like, yeah, confession of love for each other. That's kind of, like, really soon and, like, weird. Mm-hmm. And so you're like, oh shit, you know, like, she did say she was, like, super depressed. Like, I should go, like, I'm her boyfriend. I should go help her out of bed and, like, make sure she's up and, like, comes to school and stuff. So you rush back home and you let yourself into her house, and there's no answer or anything. And you, like, go upstairs and you're like, should I, like, seems like a really big invasion of privacy mm-hmm. or whatever. And you open the door to her bedroom, and it's just this, like, still image of her bedroom that you've been in the day before or whatever, but she is hanging from a rope in the middle of the room.
Oh, God.
And the screen kind of goes all, like, staticky and stuff, and it gets all, like, glitchy and stuff, and then it goes over all this, like, I shouldn't have told her that I loved her. Like, I knew that she, like, felt all this kind of angst when people care for her, and it makes her more anxious and all this stuff. So yeah, she ends up committing suicide. And the game just, like, it says, like, the end, like, game over or whatever. It doesn't say game over, but it just says, like, end. And then it goes back to the loading screen. So let's rewind, start back at the beginning.
Right.
You're this high school kid, and you get up for school.
I have a question, real quick. So do you think you have lost and you're going to play again, or is it pretty obvious, like, oh, we're supposed to start again?
No, it's pretty obvious.
Okay.
Let me just...
I just want to make sure
that
was, like...
Back to the beginning. You're just this high school kid, mm-hmm. And you go outside to walk to school with your best friend, and then the screen just kind of glitches out, and you're like, what? Okay. I'm just going to walk to school, like, by myself, like I always have. And you go to school. And there's this girl that you run into. Her name's Monica, and she's the president of the Literature Club. And mm-hmm. she's trying to get the Literature Club started, but she needs 4 people in order for it to be, like, a legit club. So she asks you to come join the club. And so you... like, I don't want to join the Lich Club. If anything, I'd join the anime club and all this stuff. And she's like, well, come on, like, just come to it. We need another person. And you're like, oh, Monica's really hot. I'll just go join the Lich Club.
Right.
And so you go join the Lich Club, and there's 2 other girls there. There's this really, like, short, small girl who is tsundere, which means that she's, like, mean to you when she really likes you.
Yeah.
And then there's this like emo girl named Yuri, and I think Natsuki's the other girl. And so you like sit with them and you write poems, and you kind of, all the girls have different voices in their poems and stuff.
Right.
And then you kind of meet with these girls and stuff. And then Yuri kind of sits down with you and reads this book. And then like a few days go by and you're like getting ready for this festival at the school. And Yuri kind of like gets upset and she asks the other girls to leave and she's going to talk to you. And this is after a few days of reading poems and doing things. And she tells you like she's obsessed with you and like she feels like she's not living unless she can breathe the air that you're breathing and all of this stuff, and gets like super intense with you. And then she's like, do you accept my like confession of my like obsession with you?
Right.
And you can say like, I do, or you could say like, what? Or something like that. And either choice, I think, you hit like, yeah, I accept your obsession with you. And she pulls out this knife and just stabs herself in the gut twice, and then once through the heart.
I just found that picture next to the picture of the girl hanging in her room. This is terrifying.
Oh yeah, it's just a straight up horror game. And so then it does the same thing, like goes all glitchy. And through the second kind of playthrough, there's like things that are real weird. Like some of the backgrounds will be off kilter.
Right.
You'll get like weird glitches on their faces sometimes where they'll just be like, and I think it's all different and kind of random. They'll just be like black orbs that kind of shift around where their eyes would be, or like hyper realistic mouths instead of like the cartoon mouths. And the text sometimes will just glitch out and it'll have like weird, weird symbols and stuff. But yeah, it gets really kind of glitchy and kind of things go kind of wild. And then the next day, you kind of, or if you play through it again, like the third playthrough, it's just completely different. And it's just you and Monica. And you find out that Monica actually controls the game. And she is affecting the game files. So, like, if you're actually watching the game files while you're playing, you can see, like, when Sayori dies, it actually deletes her character file out of the program.
Mm-hmm.
And other things kind of happen that way. But, yeah, it's just, like, this super crazy horror game. And it turns out that this president of the Literature Club is kind of in control of the game. And she's pushed Sayori to be super depressed, and then made Yuri super obsessed with you to kind of push them, drive them to the point of committing suicide.
Jeez.
So that she can just have you to herself.
I watched this YouTube video and I'm upset. Oh,
yeah, it's pretty graphic in parts. And when you open it on the Steam store, everything it says, like, this is not a game for the faint of heart.
Right.
Like, if you're susceptible to depression or anxiety, do not play this game. And it's got kind of different warnings and things at the beginning of it. Just kind of warning you, like, hey, this kind of thing is pretty intense. But yeah, and then I guess there are... Lich Club, yeah. No, Literature Club. But yeah, there's a couple of things in it that are kind of like hidden things and stuff, which I guess I watched videos of it afterwards. There are like little things where I guess you can go in and just delete, like when you first start playing before the first day or whatever, you can start the game, kind of back out, and then delete the character files of Monica or Sayori. Mm-hmm. And if you do that and you load in, I think Sayori approaches you up front and like she becomes cognizant that she's in a video game and like freaks out. And then there's like, I guess, one good ending you can get where if you load in, you do the poems so that you have like all the tableau, like, I can't think of what they're called, but they're like in-depth detailed drawings of the girls like interacting with you during Literature Club. And then you do it with one of them, save it, close out, go back to before you did that, do it again with another girl, save it, go back out, do it with the last girl, and then Sayori is like, hey, I'm so glad she made everybody happy, and like all this stuff, and like that, I guess that's the only good ending.
But weird.
Yeah, it's pretty intense game. We had talked about it, and Danica, who's on Duck Duck Dice with us, came down after we finished last week and said one of us should play it. So I got the chance to play it. I didn't know anything about it. I knew there was some twist in it because everyone kept saying like, yeah, just like the twist. And then there's all these like trigger warnings and like stuff. But yeah, it definitely takes a turn. I will say though, I was bored to tears before, like, and like even in the second day, kind of some of the crazy stuff happens, and then you go back and you play through it the second day, and a lot of the stuff is the same as it was the first time. Mm-hmm. So it's just like kind of like, come on, like
let's go. Yeah, it's got a good time.
And it's just a little more unsettling this time because there are some of those glitches happening, mm-hmm. and like. The music is really good in it. It's kind of repetitive because you're listening to the same music for like 4 hours. But after that first like play through, when you start the second one, there's like moments where it'll go off key or out of tune. And it's just kind of like real subtle and slight. And then it goes back to like normal. Just like little things like that and little subtle like things of like this has. Unsettling. Yeah. Yeah. Something else going
on. Now, see,
on
I think I'd like something like that.
No, it is good, and it's. I mean, it won a shit ton of awards when it came out, and like it's so unexpected.
Mm-hmm. Especially with a name like Doki Doki Literature Club.
Yeah, like, and Doki Doki is it's like onomatopoeia for a beating heart, like for when you're in love or when you're scared. It's a Japanese onomatopoeia for like a racing heart.
Well, there goes the trivia question for the week.
Was that really what your trivia question was?
That's what I was like, I forgot to do a trivia question. I was like, that's not a bad one.
That's funny. But yeah, no, I would suggest playing it. I'm sorry I spoiled it for you. But if you want to just kind of have that feeling of unsettled unease. The story is good. And it is interesting. The art style and the artwork is very Japanese anime, but it's very well done. The kind of background drawings are amazing. But I would definitely check it out. It's a free game. It doesn't cost anything. Oh. So if you want to play it, play it. I mean, it won't cost you anything other than a few hours. It only takes about 4 hours, I think, to do the whole thing. Yeah.
Gotcha. But
yeah, it was definitely unsettling. Especially because like I knew there was something coming, but I didn't know what it was. And then like as you're kind of playing, you're like, oh, like. Yeah, this girl's going to commit suicide kind of thing. Right. And I expected another, like, one of the girls to murder another one, but I didn't realize it was, like, she was controlling the game and kind of, like...
Right. All kinds of twists and turns.
And I guess there's some, like, DLC for it and stuff that adds, like, more chapters to it and stuff. So, yeah, I don't know. Check it out if you're kind of interested at all. It's definitely got its charm.
Sounds crazy.
Yeah, not a Valentine's Day game, more like a Halloween game.
Halloween game. Interesting. Well, my game is nothing like that.
Neil, reload your video on Discord.
Yeah.
Okay.
My game is called Lovers of Aether. And if you've ever, if you're like, that kind of sounds similar or like familiar, there's a game called Rivals of Aether that is a fighting game that's kind of like Smash Brothers, but it involves elements and every character is like, an animal, and then they have animals or elements. There's like a fire lion and a rock bug and things like that. Lovers of Aether is that, but they're all in high school and you get to ask one to the dance. So this one was like definitely for kids. It was really short. I kind of wanted to try to play it twice. It was probably an hour, maybe 2 hours. I probably closer to an hour though. I wanted to play it twice to kind of see what happened. I looked up a couple of things. So I was like, do my choices matter? And it turns out they actually do. So people write guides and stuff to it. But you could probably fly through a couple of them in, you know, a couple hours. So you start off and the lion, I don't know any of their names, but they all have animals. So I'll just tell you, the lion, he's like the jock. And he's like, check out our school. Our school's pretty cool, right? And that's your first choice. Be like, school sucks, or yeah, it's great, or like, school's okay. So that's kind of everything is like yes, no, maybe. You have like three choices for everything. So you go in. They're like, oh, the big dance is coming. Who are you gonna, you know, who are you gonna ask? So you're like, I don't know. So you go in there, and the whole game, the lion is real interested in who you're gonna ask. And I'll say this: the whole game, a bunch of storylines start, and none of them ever end. So my storyline, basically, I'm there and I'm in class, and they're like, hey, a new girl's here. And then the Black Panther girl comes in, and she's cool, and she's hip, she's got ripped jeans, and she's new. And like, oh, you can ask her. So I was like, all right, I'm gonna just go down this path. Apparently you can ask anybody, because at the end, like when it was like, who do you want to ask, you can look around the entire classroom and ask somebody. So there are kind of like three class periods, and then
Wait, how many? You had three class periods. How many days did you have in yours before a tiny girl died? Is it like three?
Yeah, I think it's three. No, I don't remember. Two or three days. Yeah, I think it's three.
Okay,
go on. So there's the beginning when the lion talks to you. Then I think there's three class periods, and between every class period, you can talk to some people in the hall. You have so when you're in class, I think you can talk to three people. You can choose three people to talk to. There is all kinds of people. So there is the goat, who's kind of like the smarty pants, goody two shoes, sits in the front, all that kind of stuff. There's the new girl, the Black Panther. There's a snake that is, well, like kind of, I don't know, wears a scarf and like a sweater, like kind of like this sweater with like a tie though. Like, a, and I was like a sweater, like this.
Like and a then, Japanese school uniform kind of thing?
No, because it's a snake. So there's no skirt. It's just a sweater.
In a game of anthropomorphized animal characters, you can't picture one of them in a Japanese anime cover.
No,
it's a snake. How would it wear a skirt? Probably the only article of clothing a snake could wear. How is it going to wear
right,
that?
You're right.
Now, back to Animal High.
The goat's more like a Japanese. It's got the skirt and everything. No, it's more like a preppy boy with a sweater.
Ascot?
No. Sweater, collared shirt, tie.
So like a Japanese school uniform.
I want to show you. I don't know. I just don't... Maybe a little bit?
Yeah.
Okay, fine. And then, so there's the snake. There's a polar bear who wears a hockey jersey.
You totally fucked the snake, didn't you, Dan?
I already told you. I went for the Black Panther girl. There's a hyena who's kind of metal. Like, he looks like he belongs at a metal show. There's the dung beetle. He carries a big old backpack everywhere filled with rocks. And if you talk to him, he just wants to talk about his rocks. Nice. And he kind of talks like short sentences. You want to see my rocks? You'd be like, yeah. And then you'd be like, give me back my rocks.
Give me back my rocks. Hey, those rocks not yours.
There is, this is like a fox kind of character, it looks like. And they are the class, she's the class president. She's the class president for life. That's kind of her whole thing, is everybody, no one really gives a shit. So she's like, who doesn't want me to be class president for life? And everyone's like, no one cares. And she's like, all right, again. There is a dolphin who's hip and he wears slippers.
How does he walk?
He's actually an orca. He's got legs. The snake does not have legs, but this orca does, and he wears his hat sideways. There is a frog who's a hippie.
Nice.
And he kind of just always talks to you about finding your inner peace, things like that. I didn't really ever talk to this guy. He's a wolf. There's nothing really else about him. He kind of looks like he's got a man bun going on. There's the teacher. I don't think you can date her. There's a bird of some kind, and then the lion guy. I think there's a couple others they didn't put on this list. I wish they put names of it. Anyway, so the new girl's there. You kind of talk to people. I talked to Rock Boy. I was like, I don't know. I ever want to talk to Rock Boy again. Really became fond of the peace guy because he was kind of funny and was just always like, find your inner peace. And, of course, I talked to the new girl. So go out in the hallway the first time, and I'm like, well, I'm going to talk to the new girl. So I talk to her, and you see her putting something on the wall and sneaking around. And you're like, what are you doing? And she's like, oh, it's a phone charger. And you can be like, oh, yeah, sure, cool, phone charger. Or you can be like, that is not a phone charger. So I was like, that's not a phone charger. And she's like, well, I can't really tell you, but, you know, see you in class later. And you're like, all right, talk to some other people. Again, talk to Frog Boy and then usually somebody else. Come to class. And then you have to take a test. the pop quiz, and the pop quiz is based on the game, like the lore of Rivals of Aether. So you have to know, like why or who, like why did they build the wall? Was it to protect people from the forest monsters, and like all this kind of different stuff about the gods that created the world, and like the deep lore of the game that this is based off of. At the end, I think whoever you talked to in the hallway last asked you, or at least it was for me, asked you if what the answer is to something. You can say like that's cheating, or give them the answer, whatever. Then you go back into the hallway again. Then you come back to class, talk to people. I think there might be another little mini game. I can't really remember at that point. I just remember the test, because the test was very like, whoa, okay, 10 questions about a lore of a game I don't know. Then you go back in the hallway. Again, she's sneaking around. She's doing something. So then the last class, basically Lion's like really pushing you. Are those all the characters?
Yeah.
Yeah, there you go. The Come Lion's on, focus. Really pushing you. Like, who you dating? Who you dating? Like, why do you care? He doesn't ever really give you an answer. That's kind of odd. You never find out about the woman, the girl who wants to become class president forever. That's like a really weird like thing. So
you probably have to like go down their love story, right?
Yeah, possibly. I kind of want to go play it again because, like I said, it only probably took like an hour. So then I ask her out. She says yes. And then you're like, all right, what's going on? And she's like, I want to tell you my secret. You know, you saw me sneaking around. You're like, all right, what's your secret? She's like, I'm actually from the future. Oh. I'm like, what? And your principal is an elephant. You never see him. But all the speakers in the school are shaped like an elephant with big ears. And then, like, where the speaker is his trunk. And he's always like, get to class. Like, he's really mean and stuff like that. So apparently in the future, he takes over the world and becomes a dictator. So she's coming back from the future to stop him. You're like, oh, wow. And she's like, do you want to help me? I'm like, yes. I'm like, this shit is about to get wild. Then she goes, but first, we got to go to the dance. And you're like, cool. And you go to the dance, and then the credits roll. Because I was like, man, this game, it's about to be...
it's about to pop off.
Yeah. At first, I was like, oh, this game's really short. And then I was like, oh, no, it's not. Shit's about to go down. We're about to fight the elephant principal. And then she's like, let's go to the dance. And then it's like, main menu. So, it's definitely aimed towards kids. There's no sexual overtones at all. There's like nothing about kissing or hugging or anything. It's just all about you're going to go to the dance. When you take a test.
It's for lovers of Rivals of Aether.
Yeah. So I do wonder, like, if you take the test, if you do poorly, can you not be with the smart girl, or you know what I mean?
Yeah.
So I thought that none of my, it kind of just seemed like I was just playing and the girl was like, you asked me out. So I said yes. But apparently they can say no. So. Yes, there is going to
be. Do they all have like wild ending stories like hers?
I don't know. I really want to go back. I wish I was thinking about playing it again.
Like the frogman gave you some mushrooms and you go on a wild go trip. On a wild trip. Like,
you know what? I will play it one more time before the next
episode. Do the lion. See if the lion.
No, dung beetle, man. Get those rocks.
No, Get those rocks, bro.
Do the lion. I want to see why he's so interested. Maybe he's super into you. Yeah. That's why he wants to know.
Yeah.
Did they have you specify gender, either of you, at the beginning of your game?
No, mine just asks for your name. Just says, ask what's your name, and that's it. I remember the second part, the second game. You go to a computer lab, and you have to play a game, and while you're in the lab, this actually was a pretty cool part. While you're playing the computer game, that's kind of like a tower, not tower defense, kind of like, I can't think of the name of it, but like asteroids are coming down and you got to shoot the thing so they don't hit the ground. While you're doing that, someone is talking to you and you have to answer them while you're trying to play the game.
Nice.
So it's like, that's your computer class. So it's kind of like this thing where you have to kind of pay attention to two things at once. And if you take too long, she's like, hello, are you listening to me? And if you fail, your teacher's like, you suck at computers. You know, with a computer class where you play video games. So, I don't know. There's all kinds of achievements and stuff. this, it was free on my iPhone. It looks like it's also a Steam game. So there's all these playthroughs that you can do. They tell you, you know. Oh, okay. Interesting. Yeah.
Well,
that's my game. I will play it, and I will again and come back next to tell you if any of the other endings are as wild as I'm from the future. We need to fight the principal, but first let's go to the dance. But first, end of game.
Let me take a selfie.
That takes a bite out of my Final Fantasy X review. The world is ending. Our people are being slaughtered, but Blitzball.
Right. Yes. Yes.
But so
high
I
school
played,
dance.
So mm-hmm. I played the totally on brand I love you, Colonel Sanders, trademarked, approved by KFC. And if you would have given me $1,000, a year off work, and an endless supply of, I don't know, LSD and speed, I don't think I could have written a story this strange. They went all in on anime parody. It is the most... It is an explosion of colors and personalities and tropes that I am only familiar with because I make fun of anime, so I don't think people who actually... I don't know where it falls. People might find it, like, kind of pandering or offensive if you're a fan of anime, but I enjoyed it. There was... Well, I don't even know where to start.
Let's start at the beginning.
In the beginning, you wake up. And it is your first day of culinary school at the advanced learning.
In the beginning, the colonel invented chicken.
You are not the colonel. You are trying to romance the colonel eventually.
Which colonel? Is this the universe where there's the 17 colonels?
Oh yeah, that's a good question.
No, I think there is only one colonel.
Okay, and it's the original.
You should Google image.
Oh, yeah, he's a very hot colonel.
Oh, he's hot colonel.
He's a hot colonel.
He's hot as fuck. So you wake up. It's your first day of culinary school. I actually got choices. I could either be pumped and be ready to go to school, or I could hit the snooze alarm and go back. Of course... I didn't do all the terrible. There were a lot of ways that you could just throw off the game story. Like at one point, you're like almost to the end of the game, and you're like, throw in your towel and quit culinary school. Like obviously, I'm not going to click that. I kind of wish I did, but I didn't know at that point I could go back and like replay chapters. Anyways, culinary school starts. I get out of bed. I go downstairs. My best friend, much like Clinton's game without the suicide, is waiting for me outside. We walk to school together. We meet our rivals. They are Team Rocket.
They are Team Rocket, or they're like Team Rocket?
They are like Team Rocket. It's a mean girl with dummy thick thighs, and
they're like squeezing, like exploding out of her tights.
Neil showed me a picture, yeah.
And this dude who has like a blazer and a bib on, so you can like see the side of his abs.
You gotta get that rib shot in there.
Yeah, right. Yes. Right.
Yeah. But anyways, you meet these guys, and there's some funny dialogue. You make fun of each other, and then the colonel shows up, and he's beautiful. I think he just walks in the first day. The second day, he rides in. It's the whole thing.
He rides in on what?
He rides in on a horse the second day. And it says the entire quad stops to stand at him. He slaps the horse on the ass and says, "Don't worry, it remembers where it lives." And then you just go on with your day. But anyways, you show up to class, and your teacher is a corgi. A very cute corgi.
Making fun of Cowboy Bebop.
Oh, is there a teaching?
No, it's not a teaching canine corgi, but there's a corgi named Einstein who's really smart. he's like been genetically modified or something, I think is the thing. It's been a long time since I've seen Cowboy Bebop.
Where is this? Here it is. Sprinkles, your dog teacher. Please call me Professor Dog. I may be cute and fluffy, but I still demand respect. Woof. That is the first line he speaks.
Standard.
And on the on the first day, you take a quiz, and it's all like, it's like, what's the proper thing? Like, you have three choices. Like, what's absolutely necessary for the perfect recipe? And it's like, precision or going by the book or love. And of course, it's at least when I clicked on it, it's love. So it's all like these kind of Colonel Sanders-y, like down home answers to a bunch of quizzes you'll take throughout the day. But eventually it boils down to this prestigious cooking school is only 3-day semesters. You graduate in 3 days. At the end of every day, there is some sort of cooking competition. And one of your guys shows up late and he's a bot. His name is like Gertz. Eventually your best friend falls in love with him, but then on their first date, the robot takes her skydiving and everything goes wrong. He's showing off with his friends and he forgets about her, and then she gets mad and she breaks up with the robot, and then the robot explodes.
He just explodes because he's heartbroken, or?
Yes.
Okay.
Yes, he explodes and he shoots out a deep fried shoe.
A deep fried what?
A deep fried sneaker.
Oh.
Okay.
You get in the cooking competition. No, you are not allowed to eat it.
Okay.
You get in one of the first cooking competitions and this is the first time you really get to like meet Colonel Sanders. Eventually he's impressed with what you do, so it kind of strikes up a conversation. But I forget the guy's name, but James from Sidab guy, James from Team Rocket. He and his friend, they both make like extremely elaborate, like kind of like micro gastro food, like really tiny things sometimes are just way over the top. His is like a fried octopus tentacle served on a battle axe with like sea urchin something.
Oh my.
And this student, who is only named Student because every time he gets a speech bubble, somebody talks over him. He runs up in trying to be the person to review the food and get a word in edgewise, eats it, and it is undercooked, and he dies. And for the rest of the story, he shows up with a bed sheet on his head. So he's a ghost. And he haunts the rest of your playthrough. God. And everyone knows it. And you'll like, the dog will be in the middle of a conversation, and you'll just get a tiny speech bubble that's like, ooh, with O's getting bigger, and the dog will just say, knock it off, I'm trying to teach you something. It is so over the top. It didn't take long, probably 2 hours, maybe an hour, actually. I would like to go back and see what some of the things I could do with it was. I think at the end of the first night, you're on the... you're on the quad with the colonel, and you're about to tell him, like, hey, this is a great day. I'd love to see you again. And then the narrator comes up in the middle of a conversation and says, oh, what's that from off screen? What's it called? A turn-based fight sequence. And then out of nowhere, you fight it's a spork monster. It's like massive food with like two sporks going through it in an X, and you have attack and defense. And I used attack, and it was just like you hit it for 1 point of damage. And then in the next turn, I used defense, and it was like, strange move. Why would you ever do that? But okay, you curl up in a ball. But yeah, no, they do some really silly things. It was really funny. It was. Where is it? Oh yeah, but at the end, there's a homecoming, and
If you ever want to see the most amazingly animated, like, food in an anime style.
Does that work? No, wait.
You gotta go.
Wait.
Go right there. Is that, that the, is a, the Battle Axe that's a, tentacle?
That's the Battle Axe.
Yes, planning, you show me planning. That.
But yeah, if you ever want to see the most beautifully animated food and the most over-the-top reactions to people eating it, watch Shokugeki no Soma, which is, I think it's called Food Wars. Food Wars Shokugeki. And it has, it makes me so hungry when I watch it. It's it's sort of this anime about this like kid whose family owns a diner. And he goes to this like super prestigious culinary school, and it's all this like classism and stuff at the school, and like he's frowned on because his dad or his like family isn't like these world-renowned chefs, and there's this girl who's like called the God Palate because she can taste like everything and anything, and it's amazing. There are some awful, amazing, beautiful like orgasm scenes of people eating food.
I think you've shown
probably
me this.
Where they're like all their clothes explode off and they're just like like squirming in this backdrop of the food that they're eating, and the food is all beautifully like drawn and animated, but it's pretty over the top.
But the ultimate goal in this is to win the final day's cooking competition, which. Actually, in the second day, much like yours, you're taking a pop quiz in class, but you've had a great night with Paul, and he's ridden in on a horse that day, and he just looks incredibly handsome. So, like, you're trying to answer a question, and when you go to click on an answer, like, the answer switch, and just, like, images of Colonel Sanders posing in, like, weird anime positions pop up, so you can't click it right. And then eventually that stops, but you go to click it, and all the answers are just like, he's a hunk. He's so dreamy, and it has nothing to do with the question. But anyways, you get to the last cooking challenge, and based on how you've done with that challenge and throughout the day, I think you do get a final kind of score. And I think you cannot... You rated on three things, graduating, not graduating, falling in love with Colonel Sanders or not, and proving to him that you're a good chef. What was it? Oh, yeah. And at the end of it, I got graduated. Colonel Sanders loved me, and I told him I was really excited to start working with him. And he said, do you really think restaurant work is the place for you?
Can you date anybody else? Or are you only going after Colonel Sanders?
Yes. I think you can only romance him. But you get the feeling that I think they lead you towards him no matter what.
Yeah.
Because the second night is all about like going to his house. Gotcha. But the mean girl is trying to steal him.
Her name is Ashley, by the way, and she has a fan base on the internet.
Yeah, I'm sure.
Don't Google her at work.
Yes. Oh, and there's this tiny little kid who's just a total dweeb, and he's kind of who's the I'm in danger guy from Ralph Simpsons. He's kind of like Ralph Wiggum, and he comes up and he introduces himself as Pop, and you're like, Pop, that's a weird name, and it says you look down at his name tag, it says Bob, lowercase b's. He must be reading it upside down.
He's looking down at it.
But no, it takes an hour out of your day, and it is delightfully
awful.
Yes, it is a parody for sure.
Yeah, trying to figure out. She spells her name really weird, though. The Ashley girl.
It's like Ashley.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Also, chat. If you don't like Food Wars, you can leave.
Ooh.
Food Wars is an amazing show.
Oh, I see the monster you have to fight. It's like a meatball with sporks in it.
It's a spork monster, and his name is actually Steve. And he apologizes for coming onto you so hard the last night, and then you apologize for attacking first.
Interesting.
And then he comes up and he helps you in your final exam.
Oh. Nice. Well, those
It's free on Steam.
Okay. Everyone rate your game out of 5 hearts. How many hearts are you giving it?
Ooh. Hearts with knives in them or just hearts?
Up to you.
Well, that's 4 hearts, one with a knife in it.
One with a knife. So 4 out of 5 hearts, one of them's got a knife in
it. Well, no, 4 hearts that are whole and then one with a knife through
it. Oh, so 5 hearts.
Yeah.
5 hearts, one knife.
One knife.
In the heart. I'm going to give mine a 2 out of 5 because it was short. I didn't feel like anything was making a difference, even though it seems like it does. And what? I want to fight the elephant. Maybe I have to go play Rivals of Aether and finish it up. You know, you start out, hey, I'm in high school, I go to the dance, now I'm fighting. Yeah, so that's yeah. I'm going to give it 2 out of 5 hearts.
I'm going to give mine 3 out of 5 hearts, mm-hmm. but they're actually 2 chicken drumsticks kind of crossed so that they form a heart at the top.
Okay. That's acceptable.
They went hard into what they wanted to do and they did it, but in the end I don't think it was a dating simulator. You really only had one option. Yeah. And while your stories counted for something, I think the gameplay is actually pretty rigid.
Yeah,
but still, it's funny. More of a visual novel. Very yeah. funny.
Who had trivia last week?
I did.
Okay, what was your question?
Last week was I asked, Xbox said that they had 2 competitors, oh, right. that Nintendo and Sony were not their competitors in the video game world anymore, and they had 2 new competitors. Who are they?
I said Google and Apple.
I think I may have agreed, or I said Amazon and Google or something like that. What is the answer?
The answer is Google and Amazon.
Ooh.
Because they both are in a position to have cloud servers to run internet-based video games.
Gotcha, just like xCloud
yep.
is doing. That just came to iOS, by the way. If you want to sign up for that, you can sign up for it, but you can only play Master Chief Collection right now on iOS. On Android, I think there's a couple other games. So...
Yeah, it's an interesting kind of idea. If you can find the articles about it, I would suggest reading them, because yeah. it is an interesting read, kind of how to see kind of what Xbox expects out of the video game industry and the direction it's going to take. They seem to be all in on streaming about from...
It. Well, Xbox says that it's Amazon and Google.
Mm-hmm.
Nintendo says that it's not... their rivals are not PlayStation and Xbox.
Yeah.
Who's PS4 going against?
themselves. That's why they don't want to crossplay at all.
Yeah, they don't do crossplay. They don't do cloud computing.
They're just our in their own little
yeah
our greatest
yeah.
enemy.
But yeah, no, the thing kind of Xbox, what they're saying is that Sony and Nintendo aren't in a space to kind of have servers to run cloud computing, cloud gaming kind of stuff, whereas Microsoft has their like Microsoft Office 365, whatever it's called, it's got some weird name, I can never remember it. Google's got just all their servers in general. Amazon runs like half of the internet, so they're all in prime position to kind of move into this space, whereas Sony and Nintendo would have to buy and create the infrastructure to do this kind of thing, which they're not worried about happening right. from them.
So this just popped up as I was looking up Rivals Nintendo, because I think Nintendo said something. I was trying to figure out who they said was there. Things. So, it popped up. Remember we were talking a couple months ago about the Nintendo-Sony prototype
from PlayStation?
So, remember, it went up for auction. Trying to see if the auction is over. It is not over yet. So it's not over. It's still going on. Do you guys want to take... We guessed what we thought it would go for. So let's see what we have here. I thought I'd go for 2.5 million. Clinton thought I'd go for 750,000. Neil thought 1.5 million. Does anyone want to guess what the highest bid is as of Friday?
Nope. I don't want to guess.
Nope.
60,000.
As of Friday, it was 360,000.
360,000? What did
I say? You said 750. So it's not over yet. So I could keep going. But right now, it's the Oculus VR co-founder is the highest bidder so far. His name is Palmer Lucky. So,
yeah, Azure is the Microsoft Cloud Computing thing. Azure. Gotcha. It's got a stupid name. A-Z-U-R-E. Thank you, Alex.
Let's see here. I just wanted to see real quick if I could see what Nintendo said was there. That's a video. I'm not going to watch it. Anyway. It's all blown out. What's all blown out?
Neil was.
Gotcha.
Oh, sorry.
All right, so my trivia...
Before we wrap up... Go ahead. Oh, yeah, no, do your trivia.
Okay, my trivia question is, KFC, this is not the first video game they have released. Not the first one. This is actually the second video game they've released. First one was not as popular. If you Google KFC video game, you're going to find mostly I Love You, Colonel Sanders. So what was the genre of the other video game? Also, I'll give you the title. It's called KFC The Hard Way.
I don't know.
It's out there. It's
was it a Souls-like?
Yes, it was a Souls-like. You got me, Neil.
Have either of you played any of the Burger King games?
No, we do want to do an episode where we play that.
Those are so good.
Because there's Sneak King is the one that everyone likes.
There's the bumper car one.
Yeah.
And then there's another one, too. I think you ride a BMX bike or something, I want to say.
So that's the trivia question. You can email us at gamegoosepodcast@gmail.com or tweet at us at PartyFileGames. Check that out. Always check out those Twitters, all that kind of thing like that.
Yeah. Check us out Monday nights. We play Dungeons and Dragons. Myself and five others. We just had a character die. It was really sad. So tune in next week. You can see a new character join and see how we all kind of adjust to it. It'll be interesting, I think, to say the least.
Look at, I'm getting real bad in this video. I don't know what's going on. I wanted to, I think a couple months ago, or maybe a lot of months ago, we did a bracket challenge where we pitted some of our favorite video game characters against each other, and through our own wits and logic and having three people, we got to the bottom of who we thought. I think The Witcher won the first round, Geralt of Rivia. I would like to do another one, but I would like to open up the selection to our listeners. So if you've got somebody, email gamegoosepodcast@gmail.com, or maybe Danica or Dan or whoever does our social media, it's not me, can toss a tweet up there and we'll get some responses that way.
Don't you can't talk about Geralt of Rivia and The Witcher and then say toss a blank
toss a coin to our Twitter. that's what I'm saying.
I want to do another one, so let's get that going. And
was it Geralt?
That one?
Yeah, it came down to Geralt versus Link, and Geralt won.
Oh, interesting.
Interesting.
How did, like, Master Chief or someone not?
I don't know.
We'll establish the rules.
I have to go listen to it again and see how dumb we were.
In this fantasy world, your swordsmanship is raised to a level of Master Chief's weaponry. Everyone is as powerful as they are. They're all on equal power levels. It's how their skills match up against each other.
I see. I could see Geralt being okay. He's got
Master Chief gets killed with swords all the time.
That's true.
That's true. Alright, before we go, anything you guys want to say?
Nope.
Happy birthday, Danica. It was her birthday recently. Yeah. I'm sure the other shows mentioned that as well.
Happy birthday to my dad, too.
Happy birthday to Clinton's dad.
Yeah.
I'm sure he listens weekly.
Mm-hmm.
Happy birthday to Dan. It's March 14th.
Proud of the day. Neil is ballparking when my birthday is.
But yes, big thank you and happy birthday to Danny for always running our Twitter and always being in chat and
all that fun stuff. I really want some crispy chicken now. That's all I gotta say.
Number one side effect of that game, fried chicken.
It's so a perfect it's a perfect advertisement.
Yeah.
Right. They need a disclaimer. Warning: may cause fried chicken.
All right, guys, we are gonna be back next week. Have a great week, and we'll talk to you guys soon.